everybody. Welcome to episode 245 of the Finger Guns Podcast. My name is Roscoe. How are you doing today? I am joined this afternoon by Kat.
Hello, hello, hello. I had to do a little hum check then. I muted myself and I was like, can anyone hear me? How you doing?
I'm doing really well. The sun's still out and we're talking on bloody Zoom. How about that?
I know, right? Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thought that we had all this time on a Sunday to do this?
Oh, no. I do love a Sunday. It feels like we're in a pub. It feels like we're just chatting games in a beer garden. I like that feeling.
That'd be really cool, wouldn't it? We should do that one day. If only you were still down the road.
I know.
Anyway, so all is well?
Yes, yeah. All is mostly well as it can be. Yeah, boring life, really. Which is good. We've had a really chill weekend. I was a bit poorly yesterday. We had a date day planned, so we had to shove around our date day and just spend it in the house. And then today, it's been a bit more productive. Made a lasagna, you know. Well, oh, nice. I wanted to make a cake, but I didn't have self-raising flour. I had plain flour. And then I thought, that's fine. You can still make cakes with plain flour, but I didn't have any baking soda. So I was like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you and your cake. I'm going to make cake then. So, yeah, all best laid plans and all that. So,
fuck you, cake. Fuck you.
Yeah, Josh says lasagna is a meat cake. I'll take that. Yeah, pretty much is.
Yeah, yeah.
Square,
yeah.
Spag bol.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right, let's introduce him. Joshua Thompson.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, that's really good to hear. I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well.
Good. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone that's celebrating it today. You'll probably hear this tomorrow or the next day. I'm sure it went well. If you don't remember it, it definitely went well. So, yeah. Are you in the festive spirit, Ross?
No. But, you know, I don't want to discount people that are. So, if you're listening to this and you've had a lovely St. Patrick's Day, that's awesome. I hope you enjoyed it. Fill lots of Guinness and green things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, oh, you're gorgeous. What is that from?
Thanks. Oh, I couldn't tell you.
I just remember where it's from. It's from Colin Farrell's sex tape. So how was the Oscars for you?
Wow. I was left a bit speechless. I guess I'm happy, you know. There were some good results. I feel like everything that should have won kind of did win. And Divine Joy and Randolph kind of had a whole lead up. And everyone was like, yeah, it's your Oscar, babe. It's your Oscar. And then she was like, no. And then she started winning everything else. And then she got the Oscar as well. Mm-hmm. So that was a punch in the air moment. And another one for me was American Fiction winning Best Adaptation. That's cool. That's on Amazon Prime. I'm yet to watch it, but I've heard really good things. The Zone of Interesting. The Zone of Interest.
The Zone of Interesting.
Yeah, that would be my review title. One for Best Sound. And I've heard lots of things about the use of sound in that film. And I am trying to go as blind as possible about the film. I know what it's about, but I'm trying to go as like, I don't want to know what it's like, how it's shot and stuff like that, because it's meant to be kind of like catches you off guard on what it's like. But yeah, I've just heard really interesting things about its sound and for it to win it, and it be up against some quite mainstream sort of picks. Like, that was quite cool for me. But what about you?
I was very happy. I really enjoyed the whole show, actually. I thought it was probably the most enjoyable Oscars for a while. A lot of the comedy bits really did hit, particularly Schwarzenegger and DeVito. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
Going after Michael Keaton. Blunt and Gosling, I thought they had really good chemistry, which makes me very excited for The Fall Guy. Looking forward to watching
that.
Yeah. I mean, Gosling just won the whole thing, really, didn't he? I think he should have won Best Picture for his performance that night.
For his performance of the song.
It was just astonishing. what a way to kind of like cap the Barbie kind of era, and kind of put it to bed. And it was just stunning. So yeah, I really enjoyed the whole show. I didn't Kimmel's monologue wasn't amazing, but I think throughout the rest of the show we had some much better jokes. And I'm hopefully John Mulaney might get a shot at it at some point in the future. Because I thought
Well,
his segment was brilliant.
that was it, wasn't it? Everyone was on Twitter was just like, why isn't he hosting? Why can't he do it the whole show? And I'm in full agreement as well. That was really fun.
So yeah, I think it's successful Oscars overall. A lot of expected winners. But you're gonna speculate beforehand and you're never gonna be surprised, I suppose. So yeah. But yeah, very good, very enjoyable. And finally, ripping onto a chair, no doubt, right now, and dying for penalties. It's Miles Thompson.
Hello there.
Hello there.
I am indeed on the edge of my seat, keeping track of the score as we speak.
I've just seen Rashford's miss.
I bottled it. That was the game.
Absolutely shocking. That would
Absolute
have won us
bottle.
the game right there.
That was it. That was game over. It was the last touch.
Pathetic.
It feels like it's set up for Darwin Nunez to get resubbed back on to then score a final minute winner.
The highest paid player in Manchester United.
Wild.
Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, that is pretty disgusting.
And a fun fact, that was only Antony's second goal this season.
Yeah, they both come in the FA Cup. So he turns up sometimes. By
God.
sometimes, I mean never, except for the twice he has.
God, what a piece of shit team we are right now. Anyway, how are you, bud?
I'm good. Thank you, mate. I'm good. Like Kat said, we've had a nice, productive morning. Done a bit of exercise today. Spoke to my fam. And yeah, just watched a bit of the game. I've been playing a bit of Redacted, which I can't talk about, but yeah, it's been a nice weekend, albeit we had to shuffle our plans a little bit yesterday. But yeah, it's been cool. Thank you, bud.
Good. Good,
And
good.
lasagna is great. I absolutely love lasagna. So it's just been a very nice day.
It's, I think it's my favorite meal. I generally do.
I would, probably go along with that potentially. I just think it's such a superb winner.
Superb winner.
Yeah, unlike Rashford. Hey.
Oh! Wow, he had a chance to be a hero then, didn't he? Never mind.
He did. I had to bring it full circle round again.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. I appreciate that. I respect that.
Good stuff. How are you doing, Roscoe?
I'm pretty well, thanks, man. I'm back in my flat.
Lovely. Glad to hear it.
My bathroom is nice and shiny. I'll fucking send you pictures if you really want them. I don't think you were serious last week, but
I'd love a shiny picture of your new
if you
bathroom.
really want to see it, then you can.
I'll add it to the screenshot
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's my bathroom. Yeah, I have been. Yeah, I've had three reviews on the go, which I wasn't exactly. I took on three games. I was like, huh, I've got three games to review. I thought I only had one, and it's not until you realize how when you see your list, like, oh yeah, I've actually got more than I thought.
Your retirement's going swell.
Oh, it's brilliant. It, as ever, it's going really well.
Yeah, you've been really lapping up with retirement.
Yeah, I've been playing Redacted a lot, and I've nearly finished it, and I am excited to talk to people about it, but I can't right now. But it does mean I still haven't started Rebirth. Rebirth is on my list of things to do this evening. Finally, at last. And it will be done. It will be done. I sincerely hope so, anyway. Right then, let's get to Game of the Week. So, from the top, Kat, what'd be your Game of the Week?
I think I'm in a place where I'm not playing different games because I've got like this r stuck rotation of games at the moment. And that is Among Us, Tomb Raider, Final Fantasy, and Dead by Daylight. Like, I can't stop playing those four. And I think that that will be the case until I finish Final Fantasy. Because I feel like, do you ever get into like a funk where I was in a real funk the other day? And I was thinking to myself, like, I can't start another game because I'm too far deep into Final Fantasy. And when I don't want to play Final Fantasy, I don't want to start a new game. So I'm ending up playing like something really mind-numbing, like Among Us. I'm absolutely hooked on Among Us. I don't even know why. I don't even know why it's a thing. I think it's very brain in the jar, and at the moment it's been quite a couple of busy weeks in my job. I'm wrapping up everything in my first placement, so it's very brain in the jarry. And I fuck it. It almost makes me feel like when I'm having an angry day, I turn into a bit of a troll. Which is it's not helpful. I'm not rude to anybody in particular. It's more just the game. I normally troll the game. So I'm just like, hee hee, I'm just gonna kill everyone for no reason. It's gonna be it's like that kind of trolling. And I find great satisfaction in that at the moment. So I've just forced myself to get back into Final Fantasy, because if I don't play it, it's gonna turn into another Red Dead where it just sits on my fucking thing for ages. So I've done that today, I've got an hour in. Yeah. I think I stopped playing it. Josh kind of called me out a little bit. And I welcome it because he just knows me so well. Where he went, "Do you think you've stopped playing Final Fantasy because you're no longer ahead of Miles?" And I was like, "Yeah, probably." Like the satisfaction just isn't there anymore. And now
Oh,
Miles is
come now.
like three chapters ahead of me. So I'm like, oh, the slog to try and catch that up. But it's his game, so I'm glad. I'm really glad that he is still enjoying it. But he is playing a certain redacted, so isn't on it, so I'm playing catch up.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, you are miles ahead of me.
That's helpful to know, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if that
It
helps at
does. It
all.
counts. It counts for something. It counts for something. At one point, I was the furthest in the whole of Finger Guns, and then Tom very quickly took that over. And then I think Sean took that over very quickly. And then I was honestly like, me and Toby were on the exact same cutscene. So there was that. And he's like two chapters ahead of me now. Miles, we don't talk about him. So yeah, so maybe it does make me feel better, but I do feel a bit from hero to zero right now.
I'm good. Oh, yeah, it's nice to have a rotation of games, you know? That's why I play games. You always
I
know, jump
know,
from one to the other.
I do that, but I feel like it does scupper me a lot because I end up like leaving games behind, and then nobody saves the world. Like fucking loved that game, but stopped playing it for something else a couple of weeks ago, and now I can't get back into it because I'm too high of a level that will kick my ass and I CBA to jump back in. So,
Sure.
but it's just yeah, so it's a blessing and a curse having this many games to play at once.
Is the Dreamlight Valley DLC perchance in that rotation?
It is in the rotation. It is in the rotation. I got the DLC at a time where I was like falling out of love with it. So it made me fall back into love. And it is part of my Brain in the Jar series. So I'll do like a little bit of Dreamlight. I'll do a little bit of. They've got this game called Scramble Coin on DLC. It's just not as good as Queen's Blood. So I just don't play it. I'm sorry, dear. I'm sorry, Disney. I love you. But Scramble Coin kind of just. It's not for me.
Your breath is starting to sound a bit like Mario Party. And it's
Huh?
kind of like random. There's tons and tons of side, like mini games to play, and there isn't
Oh
kind of an end of them.
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like Toby was mentioning some sort of cooking one. I was like, I have no idea what he's talking about. So yeah, there is a lot of side quests.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I will finally share my impressions of it next week. I'm
I look forward to it.
insanely behind.
I look forward to it.
Me too. Josh, what are you playing at the moment, sir?
Similar to Kat, I had a really, or yeah, I had, because now I'm kind of in the flow of things. I had a really strange period where I think when we get into reviews and stuff like that, we kind of just don't stop to finish games sometimes, but like, not necessarily for work purposes, but the ones that you get for yourself, you kind of play them in between, and when you start to work, like they just fall off the face of the earth. And there was a really big release in January for me that I dropped for weeks and weeks because I just had some of the best games that came out this year to review.
Yes.
And then I just felt really like discombobulated on what I should do in my free time when it came to games, because I was not being like, nothing was scratching that itch of like why I enjoy playing games and not why I play games to work. And so I was playing Dead by Daylight and I got so angry. I reported someone and their message got deleted because they were so rude to me. And then I was like, that's it. I just can't spend my days off or my evenings off playing games that make me that angry. So then I was like, what should I do? And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to hit reset and I'm going to go back to the first game that I started this year. And that was Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. And I have now since platinumed it. It didn't take me too long because I was quite all the way through before I got sidetracked. And I said it yesterday on Twitter, and I still stand by it. I think it's probably one of the best Metroidvanias I've ever played. I wouldn't consider myself an aficionado, so to speak, because I've not played absolutely every single one, but I have delved deep in a lot that I can comfortably say that is one of my favorites mechanically, with its traversal and combat, how interesting it is, how insane the boss fights are, and the sort of anime-inspired choices in terms of its art direction and character design and fights choreography in the cutscenes and stuff like that. That I just absolutely loved it. And it's one of those where I was playing through it and going through the map to find all the collectibles and stuff like that. I just had a podcast on the side. And yeah, it's just completely and utterly amazing gameplay. And I just loved it. And yeah, I think it's probably going to be up there with one of my games of the year. Right now, it's probably at the top spot, only because other ones I haven't completely finished. But yeah, what a game. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown.
Yeah, highly agreed on that one. It's a superb, superb game. The best thing Ubisoft has dropped in, well, God knows how long. It's been a while.
Did you
But
ever get
it's
to get round to Avatar? Did you play
I did,
much of it?
yeah. I got about halfway through, and I finally got my my I don't remember the names of everything now, but the flying bird guy. And it was great. It was just I dropped. I must have something must have come out, and I dropped it. But it's still installed on my console, so I do intend to go back to it. But yeah, there's always something new to play, isn't there? So, but yeah, Pandora's great. I still stand by it. I think it's a really great game. And I think it's on sale right now. So I think if anyone was sort of like quietly curious about it, I think now might be a good time to check it out.
Awesome.
It's fun. Miles, what's your game of the week? Well, I imagine your
Yeah,
game of the week you can't talk about,
I
but
can't. But I do have another one because something else came out this week, didn't it, Roscoe? And it's Mustafar related.
oh yeah, it sure did with its seven servers.
Yes, it did. Thankfully, I'm in like a really niche boat with this. I couldn't care less, so I've not been affected by any of the problems with the online stuff because I only ever played Battlefront for Galactic Conquest and I absolutely loved it. So literally, I was like, no, I don't want to play with other people. I just want to spank the AI every single time. So I've been playing the Star Wars Battlefront collection. I've mainly played Battlefront 2. I haven't tried out Battlefront 1 just yet, but I have seen some stuff about that too. So this is like a weird one because I actually don't recommend anybody buy it at this point. I think for the price that it's at, I think it's like 35, £40, something like that. These are straight ports, straight up, they are ports. There might be like ever so slight enhancements to some things, but this is not a remaster. This is not like a built-on experience. These are just the games that you remember just played on PS5. Now, for me, that's enough. I've got Galactic Conquest back in my life, and I can just run around as a stormtrooper and shoot rebels. I'm loving having a great time. So I weirdly don't recommend it, but I am enjoying it. It's straight up the same gameplay. They've added some new heroes and a couple of maps, I think to the online mode. The online on PS5 is actually okay. There's a bunch of like player hosted games where I think it's not having the same problems that I think the Steam and PC players are having. But even so, I think the price is pretty egregious for two games that came out 20 years ago. And when you think of it, the Metal Gear Solid collection I think was £45, and that's got five games in there.
I'm surprised you say
Albeit.
that because I remember you not having any issue with The Last of Us Part One coming out.
No, not at all. No, I didn't have any issue with that whatsoever, did I? No.
No. No, you were quite happy to jump on that bandwagon.
Oh yeah, I definitely bought that game. £70. I didn't. Yeah, so it doesn't feel worth the money that it is, but I don't mind it too much because I love Battlefront enough that I'm okay with it. And it's also not £70 at least.
Oh yeah, there is
So
that.
I'll take that as my win. Yeah, it does feel like it's kind of what we've seen with companies kind of charging a lot of money for games that are being re-released in various different forms. And it does come into that. If you love a game enough, it doesn't matter what it is or what the price is, but yeah, it's still not good practice, I don't think, anyway. So I'd actually recommend holding out and buying it when it goes on sale if you do want to go back to them again. But obviously, as if you're a big fan of the originals and you just want to play them again, this is a good opportunity to do so. If not, just buy them on Steam for like a fiver, and you'll have the same experience.
Pretty much, pretty much.
So yeah, it's a weird one.
I can't wait to talk to you about your redacted game.
I know, I'm so excited. I'm so keen.
Can we do it next week or is it the week after?
We can do
Oh, it
it
is
next
next week,
week.
isn't it? Yeah,
We
we
can
can
do
do
it
it next
next
week.
week. Yeah.
Sweet.
Same with mine.
Woo!
Not as exciting, but it's been weeks.
Oh, not mine. It's a day after. Day after the podcast.
Oh, we could have had a full
Damn.
sweep.
Damn. Oh well. What have I been playing? Well, I've been playing a lot of Redacted. It's very redacted and very redacted. Because of the redacted is redacted, so we can't redact that. But yeah, that's what I've been playing the most of really this week. But I've also been playing Taxi Life, a city driving simulator, which is available now on consoles and PC. And this kind of caught my interest because I'm a big fan of Crazy Taxi, and I was like, I could do like a Crazy Taxi itch being scratched. This is not that game. It's in the title. I should have known this. You know, it's like it doesn't say, you know, Crazy Taxi. It doesn't say Taxi Life, drive like a Muppet while singing along to The Offspring. This is very much a city simulator, and the visuals are gorgeous. The game looks fan bloody tastic. But yeah, it's like it's really serious driving. It's like you've got to know how to do 3-point turns. You've got to know how to indicate. You got to do all this shit. And I don't know how to drive. I don't know what I'm doing. It makes it really, really fucking boring. And unfortunately, as a simulator, it kind of works. But as a fun experience, it's not one of those things. It's a very different opposite thing. And the AI is god awful. You can be like, hey, I'm just cruising, I'm driving, I'm being sensible, I'm just in the traffic right now. And then AI could just come and just rear end you out of nowhere. I'm like, what the hell? And then I get penalized for it. And it's deeply unfair. The tutorial I had to jump out of because it was so dense and so detailed that I got so bored. I got so bored of this is what driver lessons are like, that I don't think I'm ever gonna bother because it really wasn't that exciting. And I couldn't face it. So it has its moments. It's again, like I said, visually it looks great. It looks really, really nice actually. I think it's running on Unreal 5. I'm not sure. I could be wrong about that, but it does look very, very nice. But yeah, you just pick up people, you take them, they start chatting to you, and you can get, you know, good ratings, you can get bad ratings. You can have nice conversations with people. It's fine. It's just, you know, it is a simulator, but it's a technical complete mess. And unfortunately, it's not living up to the hype. So if you want a Crazy Taxi-like thing, then this is not it. This is not, this is not fun, you know, and that's the problem with it. And that's a kind of a big thing that you want out of video games, you know? So yeah, I can't recommend Taxi Life, unfortunately. My review will be up this week, and as will my review for Welcome to Paradise, which is a little bit late, but I've only just got a second code as the first one didn't work. So, yeah, what about Welcome to Paradise? Well, I'll talk about it another day. I cannot be asked to talk about it right now. I'm very sorry if you tuned in to listen to it, but the game is about as exciting as Taxi Life, but not so much. If you can actually gauge any kind of idea of what Welcome to Paradise might be like from that particular explanation. So yeah, but yeah, I can't wait to talk about Redacted because there's a lot of joy to be spoken of in that way, or is there? Who knows? It's embargoed, so I can't say anything. But yeah, I've got more fun stuff to talk about next week. Harvey Elliott. Who's Harvey Elliott? Who's Harvey Elliott?
He's just a Liverpool midfielder.
Who's Harvey Elliott?
He's just a Liverpool midfielder, isn't he?
What has he done?
What do you think he's done, Roscoe?
Oh, has he
Like,
scored? Has he scored?
he's done it. He's done a good football.
Has he done a football?
He's done a football.
Did he kick
Ah,
it?
that's not what they pay him for.
I'm pretty sure he picked it up and threw it.
Well,
Oh,
that's not
no.
cool.
I know, I know. Crazy, isn't it? This game's changing.
Well,
That's
there
that
you go.
wrong football that those Americans talk about.
Yeah,
Sorry
them.
if you're
Oh yeah, the
American
bad one.
listening.
Yeah, they're Americans. Anyway, is it quiz time, Miles?
Is, Roscoe, and you're gonna love this quiz about as much as you love the scoreline currently, because it's another one.
Oh, why don't you, just shut your fucking mouth? That's a that's an idea, isn't it?
It is an idea, to be fair, and probably a very good one.
All right, you have permission to share your stupid picture quiz.
Thank you. I love how you didn't even really need to ask this time.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, hold on. It's already on the first one. Oof, that'd be way too quick. I'll be doing that. Ready. Can you all see it? It should be blank currently.
What is Jurgen Klopp doing? Oh my God. Oh my
He's
God. Oh
doing
my
all the
God.
things.
Jürgen is currently clopping right now.
Oh, that's too much clopping.
Oh my God. I can't
Oh,
clop.
what the hell is sloppy clopping? What is that?
Oh, I'm actually impressed by your creativity every week for this.
What is sloppy clopping? Oh, yeah. Is that Gerrard? Oh, that's gross.
No, don't involve Gerard in that. He's sanctity.
At least he's putting his fist to good use for once, I suppose.
Not just punching somebody in a bar this time.
Yeah. Oh, he looks a bit slippy though. He keeps losing his feet. That's awkward.
Cute.
Oh, I get that reference.
I hate Steven Gerrard.
I could have figured.
With an unbridled passion. Like it
It's
rages within me.
something. If Josh understands the reference too, then it's quite
I
something
think
for it
so,
to be honest.
right? England
Yeah.
game?
Not England game,
No,
no,
not England.
unfortunately. I wish it had been an
Was it
England
a
game.
final?
It might as well have been.
Might as well have been.
Yeah, might as well have been.
It was like the
It was
last
penalty, right?
few
It was
months.
the
No,
third to last game of the season. We were
the last
two
game of the
points clear of
season.
City.
It
If
was
we
two or
won the
three.
game, we basically had the title, and Stevie G slipped.
Yes.
No, but the best part of that is that the camera went in on like a team talk beforehand, and they
Yeah.
heard him say, and I quote, "We can't let this fucking slip now," right? And he went to run to score, and he slipped over and lost the title.
And
It was
Dembaba was in to score.
absolutely stunning.
Some
And
might say he got an excellent payout for that from the opposition. That's how
Roscoe's
these
been
games
living off
work.
that for the last 10 years because Man United have been shit ever since.
Oh.
But it was iconic, to be fair.
Dude, it's all I have. Just let me have that one.
Yeah, I was going to say it is iconic. It is what it is. Anyway, are we ready for a quiz?
Yeah.
I guess.
It is the standard screenshot quiz. We're still going with this. I think I've got a little bit more of it in me. And then we're going to move on to a different style soon. Don't worry, Roscoe. Although, to be fair, you actually won a few of them. So, anyway, number
Yeah, I won
one.
last week. I am the reigning champion.
Isn't it Josh? Josh is always the reigning
No, it's
champion.
not Josh, it's me.
I definitely won last week. I
Fucking me,
mean,
all right?
well, the only person I ever remember winning a quiz is Josh, so.
No, without doing a bit, that was it was me last week, I think.
No,
I don't know if it
it was
was week
genuinely me
before.
last week.
I feel
No,
like
I
it
feel like
was.
it was Josh Ross. I'm so sorry. Oh, he's gonna go back and fact check this now.
Don't want to gaslight you, but it might have been me.
I think you were the week before Ross.
Didn't know this podcast was lit by gaslight.
Disney's Gaslight Valley.
Yeah, chill.
Anyway, number one, are we ready?
Yeah.
Let's.
Hang on a minute. I'm checking last episode.
Is excellent. Like people, myself included, who are hopping on every now and then to shove. The note is excellent. Like genuinely.
I can't find it. Fuck it. Josh won. Whatever. I don't care. Let's go.
Anyway, number one, let's go. Joshua.
Is it Bioshock Infinite?
It is Bioshock Infinite.
Do you know what? As soon as I saw the hot dog stand, I was like, that looked. And it's the balloons as well that give it away, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was quite a distinctive picture in its own way. Well done, Josh. Point on the board. Number two. This one's a tough one, to be fair. Oh my God, Roscoe, you were so on that so fast.
Is that True Crime Streets of LA?
It is not True Crime Streets of LA, I'm afraid. Joshua next.
True Crime Streets of New York?
No, it is not True Crime Streets of New York either, I'm afraid. Kat, would you like to have a go?
Is it True Crime Streets of Miami?
You guys really stuck to this theme. Roscoe, you really set them on the wrong path here. it is Driver 3.
Actually, from the map, you can,
What a throwback.
I actually thought it would, like, be a Grand Theft Auto, would end up throwing people off, but no, apparently True Crime Streets of whatever is the kicker.
No, this is the UI doesn't look like Grand Theft Auto, so that took me out.
Drive 3, that one, right?
Yes, Drive 3. Drive 3,
It was a good game, to be fair. Enjoyed that.
I only played it very briefly, so my knowledge on this one wasn't as high. But fair play. You guys knew a bit more than I did. Number three. Roscoe.
Oh, shit. Saints Row. Could be any of them. Well, no, it could be three or four, I think. One or two didn't have that purple tint to it.
I'm going to have to count you down.
Saints Row the third.
It is Saints Row the third. Ugh. Well done.
Yeah,
the purple is what kind of gives away which one it would be. And there's no superpowers in this picture, which is what distinguished four from three. Because it just went off the rails. Number four. Oh my God, all three of you were straight up, but Kat was just about first.
Oh. It's Dying Light 2.
It is Dying Light.
Do you know how I know that?
It says it in the corner.
Yep. It now says it in the corner. But I actually knew it was Dying Light because I'd seen you do that level. So I knew it was Dying Light too.
See?
But then I saw it and I was like, well, fuck it. Well, now I know I'm definitely right.
I like to throw in one that actually has the name in every now and then just because I think it makes it more fun.
Shaky.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, just throwing in a little hint every now and then. Well, not really a hint, just straight up the answer. No,
that's
five.
The answer.
Imagine if it was like Dying Light 1 though, and it had like I put the wrong like watermark on it. I might do that.
I didn't look at the watermark. I saw the game and I was like, "Is that Dying Light?"
Yeah.
And I was going to say
the
first
same
one.
And then when you were talking, I was like, "Oh, well, shit! I fucking said it in the corner." So
I didn't
embarrass myself then.
Ah, fun times. Number five. Josh, you were first.
Cyberpunk 2077.
It is Cyberpunk 2077. Well done.
R.I.P.
I know. Sad. Spoiler. Number six. Oh, Roscoe.
Oh. Didn't realise what they were doing for a bit.
Roscoe, you were first on this one.
Is that FIFA Street?
It is FIFA Street. Well done, Roscoe.
Are they fighting? Is this Def Jam?
Honestly, I pulled up the press kit for this game and I was like, holy shit, the graphics were awful. This isn't even like a picture quality thing. This is genuinely from the press kit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty distinctive in its own way. It was a great game.
It was.
Number seven. Oh, Kat was straight in here.
It's Dreamlight Valley.
That is Dreamlight Valley. Well done.
That's Disney's Dreamlight Valley.
I love that the toys are actually toy size.
Yeah, but Buzz and Woody are toy size. They're fucking tiny.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
So I just think as well.
I just think Stitch is too cute in the game.
Stitch is very cute in the game. He plays you a little guitar. It's very cute.
The best. Number eight. Roscoe, you were just ahead of this one.
Oh, so that's definitely, is that fit? Yeah, it is. Is this Lego Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga?
It is Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker
I
Saga.
had
Well
to
done,
check
Roscoe.
because there was a Lego Force Awakens game.
There
Yeah,
was.
there is. Yeah, there's all three of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to be clever then.
You did. You thought about it and you came to the right conclusion. Well done.
Yeah, because that's fair. Oh, that's cutting Marie Tran as well, isn't it? They were escaping. Yeah. I
Yep.
remember.
You got this. Number nine. Oh, Josh, straight in there.
The Evil Within 2.
It is The Evil Within 2. Well done.
I had no idea what that was. I was just pressing my button.
You were just going for it anyway and hoping for the best.
What would you have
Yeah.
guessed?
I would have guessed a Silent Hill or something, I suppose.
I mean,
Yeah,
all
that's
the
fair
right
enough.
lines, to be fair. Right
Yeah.
genre.
Yeah.
And number 10, Josh.
Deus Ex Mankind Divided. Is that what it's called?
I am afraid it is not Mankind Divided. Roscoe.
Fuck.
Is it Deus Ex?
I need more. I need the one.
Two.
It's not Deus Ex 2.
I
Kat, you can have a go.
is it part of the same? Is it part of that series?
I can't confirm nor deny. However, the fact that I asked Roscoe to stipulate should be.
Deus Ex 3. There isn't even a Deus Ex 3, is there not?
That's
No.
not a Deus
No.
Ex 3 that I'm
Fine.
aware of.
Fine. It's just Deus Ex.
It is not the original Deus Ex either. It is
Oh,
Deus
well,
Ex
fuck
Human
yourself
Revolution.
and your shit quiz.
Are they not the same game?
No.
Deus Ex 3 is basically Human Revolution.
it?
Is
Well,
it?
I
Is
don't
it not?
know. Was it not the third Deus Ex game?
I think the fact that I gave it an actual subtitle is maybe worth half a point.
It really isn't because it's the wrong game.
Oh.
Ah, it's the sequel.
Oh.
I said the sequel.
You did, but you said the sequel, not the game, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these guys, Deus Ex 2, 3.
There
Was a Deus Ex 2, wasn't
Yeah,
there?
but there's also a Deus Ex Human Division. Human
What?
Revolution.
Yeah, it is Human
Trust.
Revolution, yep.
Which is
And that's what this was,
Yes.
but none of us said it, so then we get to point.
Yeah. I do have to agree on
Oh.
this count. It was not the correct game, I'm afraid. So that actually leaves us with a tiebreaker because Josh and Roscoe, you both have 3 points. Kat, you had 2 points. So it was a very, very close run contest, this one. So to settle this, I'm just going to scroll up to one of the previous screenshots from a previous game. Whichever of you two can tell me at first will be the winner. Are we ready?
What do you mean?
Yep, that's
Know
how we're
the
doing this.
answers.
That's how I'm settling it.
That
Ready?
was just quick draw.
Yeah, it is literally quick fire. Duel it off. Let's go. Three, two, one, go. Nope, that's not far enough. Not yet. Put your hands back down.
I see off all the quizzes.
Josh, you were just ahead.
That is Transistor.
It is Transistor. Well
Oh.
done. Josh claims it on the duel.
That was a bullshit draw.
Damn. I was so confused by that. I didn't realize this is a document that goes all the way back throughout the weeks. I thought it was just this week's one. I
No,
was going to be,
literally, I
we've
have
just
all of
literally.
them. It's a
Yeah,
long ass
that's
page.
crazy.
So yeah, if I ever get stuck and need to do a final decider, this is how I do it now.
Okay.
And that
Well.
leaves us with a winner, which is Joshua on the quickfire duel at the end. But that was a very close run quiz. That was enjoyable.
Rashford!
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off.
We're gonna
Three,
have a real
three, baby! Oh, God.
falling out tonight, aren't we? I think.
It's going to go to penalties. I'm going to be like shaking while I'm trying to talk in the pod.
Oh, we're fucking awful at penalties. If it goes to penalties, it's over.
Epic quarterfinals, Kate Middleton coming out and saying her speech. It's all
What?
kicking off tonight.
All
St.
happening.
Patrick's Day.
She's going to be used as a puppet because her body's decomposing.
Christ.
Like City. And then Larry David's going to beat her up like Elmo.
Elmo.
Elmo. Oh my God.
Wait, what? You went so high pitched there, it didn't even. Oh, fuck off. You scored in the
There was a
last
gate.
second. Yeah, there's definitely a goal.
Oh, yeah, there is.
That's the most animated I've ever heard from Scope.
Glory, glory, man, you said.
Oh wait, what's that? It because of the time, does that mean they've just allowed it because it was like disallowed originally?
I don't think it's been
No,
disallowed. It looks like it's
don't.
valid.
In the
Yeah,
last minute of extra
that
time.
is literally the last second before penalties.
Oh.
Fair
Well,
play.
I suppose I better watch the highlights then.
I was going to say it's probably worth watching now for you, Roscoe.
It's so typical when I go, no, I don't want to fuck a stupid game. We're going to get trounced. And it's like the best game of the season.
I was going to say, like the full time like game was enjoyable to watch as a Liverpool fan perspective, and it sounds like everything after extra time has been all you guys.
Fergie time is still alive and well. I love
It
it.
lives on.
And
Oh, congrats, mate. Well done on reaching the
now,
semis.
Ahmad's been sent off for taking his shirt off.
What?
That was his second yellow.
Oh, what a muppet. What a muppet.
Anyway, I apologize if you care so little about football, and you're listening to this. We very rarely record when there's a match on. So it's
And we've got
and
to let you have your moment, to be
of course,
fair.
United's my team and Miles is Liverpool, so this very rarely happens.
Yeah.
Two winners in the same call tonight.
Well, bloody hell. What about that, eh? Anyway,
What a time.
what a time to be alive. Should we talk about Helldivers?
Let's.
Fuck yeah, for liberty.
Helldivers 2 has sold over 8 million copies, it's claimed, well ahead of expectations. This is VGC. Mr. Andy Robinson. Sony's breakout hit Helldivers 2 has likely sold more than 8 million copies since its release last month, the market analyst has said. That's according to TD Cowen analyst Doug Creutz, who wrote in a note this week via Bloomberg that this figure is likely growing every week. We believe the game has performed well ahead of expectations, he said. Sony have not released official sales figures for the co-op shooter, but Helldivers has regularly exceeded 430,000 concurrent players on Steam. In the UK, we know that Helldivers was the best-selling game in February, thanks to GSD data published on GameIndustry.biz. Bucking the trend, the Sony-published shooter saw its sales grow each week after its release on February 8th. The PS5 version of Helldivers accounted for 57% of its sales in the UK last month, with the remainder on PC. Now, I'll come to you, Miles, on this one because you've platinumed it, you've put it to bed, it's all done and dusted. 8 million. Did you see this coming? Do you think it was going to be a bit of a sleeper hit, or did you think like it kind of was about to kind of like explode on the mainstream?
I didn't see it having the success like on this level. I thought it was going to come out, it was going to find a pretty solid community, and I thought it was going to do well. I did not expect it to like take off the way it has done, and I think the marketing campaign around it's done a really big job. I think with social media being much more prominent now compared to when the original came out 10 years ago, I think they've really struck a chord. Like they've managed to just engage the community in one of like the best kind of ways that they could do. And I'm really pleased for it. I think we've spoken about it previously of how this is a live service game built to be a good live service. It's rewarding, it's enjoyable, the systems are all built properly and effectively. And it's nice to see one that's actually successful and not just a cheap cash grab. The developers have worked really hard to kind of stabilize the game since it launched. And incredibly, that didn't deter anybody. Even, when I was sat in a lobby for like an hour, I still wanted to play the game. I still hop into it every now and then just to go and shoot some bugs and try out the new mechs that they've added. And some of the decisions that they've made, people have been complaining about some of the meta and some of the balancing. They've just been like, cool. We don't care. We're just going to do our thing and we're going to build our game the way we want to. And if you like it, great. And if you don't play it. And they've been very open and upfront of don't buy the game until it's fixed. And yeah, I just think the developers and the way they've approached it has been really open and transparent, which is a rarity. And we talked about how Sony didn't look like they had a lot lined up for this year, but this is smashing it. Final Fantasy smashed it already. So Sony must be loving life. Somehow they've managed to take a year without any of their, well, aside from Final Fantasy, without any of their stellar first party stuff. And they've had a really successful opening. And I'm just super pleased for the game because I love the original and I'm so happy that the second one is also getting its dues too. So just massive well done to the development team for all the work they put in.
For sure. This is huge. And it's great to see. Like I said, I was with you. I was kind of thinking it was gonna kind of like teeter on the edge of like multiplayer stuff for the time being. But it goes to show how shit Call of Duty was this year.
Yeah. They really fucked it.
No one's playing yet, and they're all playing kind of like newer stuff like Helldivers. Yeah, very exciting. Kat, we've seen they've been talking about week on week, the sales are increasing. How kind of important do you think word of mouth is for multiplayer games like this? Because it seems to be fairly huge for the Helldivers and done wonders for it.
I think that's actually a really good question, and I think that question is really pertinent in stuff like sequels, because this is a sequel of a very older game, and I think word of mouth has definitely boosted this. My brother actually bought this on word of mouth from Miles. Because he was like, has Miles played the original? Is it any good? Is it better than the original? Is it as good as the original? And they played together now with Josh, and which is really surreal. And so I do think that word of mouth is really important, because I think especially with any live service games, people jump in and jump out independently of themselves for whatever reason. And I don't know if we would have jumped back in so many times with something like Fortnite, for example, if it wasn't, oh, by the way, the season's really banging, it's got loads of really cool features. So yeah, I think, and it's a shame really, because that's something the game developers cannot control, is word of mouth. Yes, you can market until, you know, cows come home, but ultimately it's going to be about the experience, and it's going to be about what people enjoy. And I do think that word of mouth is extremely important with stuff like this, especially when there's team-based games, live service stuff. And also, I think this is a new business ploy for live service games, small in their servers, have the servers be like, oh my God, overwhelmed us. We must work harder to make our servers bigger. So then, you know, it gives you that psychology of like, wow, fucking everyone must want to play this game. So I think it's a little bit of that too. But also there has to be a genuinely good, enjoyable game underneath for the word of mouth to even hold some weight. So yeah, I do think it is really, really important.
It's, yeah, it's done, like you say, it's done wonders for this. It's, yeah. It's cool that your family and Miles and Josh are all playing together.
It's super weird.
That's super awesome. Have you thought about jumping in?
No, it's not for me. It's not my kind of game. And I mostly enjoy everyone talk about their enjoyment of the game. I think if it was a different style of game, maybe I would jump in, but it's just not me. Like FPSs or even third person shooters are just, it's not for me. But I have heard the enjoyment, and it is funny to read the Slack when, you know, somebody says that they're dropping, you know, whatever they're dropping, and it falls on someone's head and kills the whole team. It's really enjoyable. But yeah, not for me, but I can appreciate from afar. It's good entertainment to watch.
Fair. Yeah, Josh, I suppose you want to round it out. I mean, this is huge, and it kind of it sets up months and months of future content for this game, I would imagine.
Yeah. I was wondering from a personal point, because I was literally playing it just earlier before we started recording. And I'm not as like in the fever pitch as I was a few weeks ago when we were all kind of really excited about playing it all together and just excited for what things to come. And I don't know if that, I'm guessing that's literally, I'm just a weird case because no one else is that way, because it's increasing in numbers every week. But Kat raised a great point of like, at the start, it probably was just FOMO, like the idea that people are missing out on this because they can't get in because there's so many. Well, why are they doing that? And yeah, and I think it's just continuing. And I'm so impressed with the kind of interaction with the audience that they have. Not only Miles mentioned is there transparency, and how even the CEO was kind of like, look, if you can't afford it now, don't, because it's not 100% right now. But the sort of like strange things that they're doing to create almost a true in a true sense, what a live service is that it's almost like an economy alive over there in whatever planet you're in, like Malevolon Creek and shit like that. Because, we had the mechs that were dropping in Asian servers, and people were like, hang on, why is this happening? Like, how come they've got mechs? And then it was kind of like, a buzz between people, like, how, why are they getting this? Like, is this a bug? No, that was intentional. They were just dropping it and hinting at it, and then people were talking about it, like you said, with this word of mouth that's going on. And then you had to earn it because they were like, look, if you want these mechs now for everyone, you're gonna have to take over this planet. And what did they do? They took over it in a few hours because people were like hyped for it. And now, what, a few days ago, we had people reporting that there are now flying Terminids, and the developer's like, nah, there isn't. We've not made them. And they're like, no, we're literally killing them right now. I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So they're just doing really interesting things to like engage with the audience in ways that isn't just all about taking your money. Because we had the IGN article that came out this week about basically saying Helldivers 2 is pay to win. Well, yeah, no shit. Like, if you pay money, you can get like weapons that do things. But like, in a sense of pay to win where it's unethical, Helldivers aren't doing that. So please put down your liberators and just see what they're doing is very intuitive and interesting. And I'm just looking forward to see what the journey is. If I hop off, I'm still gonna look from a distance and be like my soldiers and just enjoy what's going on.
That's awesome. Yeah, I do want to jump back into it. I know I'm way behind, and I do want to keep it going. And I think the price helps as well. I think the fact that it's what, £35 to kick off,
Yeah.
was a really solid price for this game. And that's definitely attracted people for sure.
Yeah, and they're doing like battle pass type things where they're not going to come and go. They're going to be permanent as long as they're in there. And you can also earn that premium currency by going out in the maps and finding the super credits. So you don't really have to spend more than what you do for the barrier of entry of buying the game, which obviously isn't a really smart business move in the sense of making money, but it's won over players for sure.
Yeah, so that's Helldivers 2. If you still haven't jumped in, yeah, all of us recommend it here at Finger Guns. It's a lot of, especially with friends. It's so stupid and it's really fun. The game doesn't take itself seriously at all. That's what I think is something that a lot of people like about it. And yeah, it's great. And it's if you type in Helldivers 2 into TikTok, there are some fantastic videos. I've laughed my ass off at a lot of them. The last couple of weeks, people just playing the game, getting absolutely trounced by their own ordnance. It's hugely entertaining. So do check it out. All right then, let's get to Gameloft, who have had a lot of success over the past couple of years with Dreamlight Valley, and it looks like they're moving on now to another massive IP. Disney Dreamlight Valley Studio Gameloft is making a Dungeons and Dragons game. Console and PC title promises an innovative hybrid of survival, life simulator, and action RPG. Gameloft have announced that it's developing a Dungeons and Dragons game for PC and consoles. Set within the Forgotten Realms, the title is in the works at its Montreal studio, which is the creator of Dreamlight Valley and LEGO Star Wars Castaways. According to today's announcement, it will bring unique cooperative gameplay built around an innovative hybrid of survival, life simulation, and action RPG. Gameloft have said players can expect an adventure where the rich lore of this legendary franchise meets real-time survival in a unique campaign of resilience, camaraderie, and danger at nearly every turn. It's currently recruiting developers to work on the game, which doesn't have a confirmed launch window yet, but that tells me that it's probably a few years off yet. But I'm going to go to Kat. This is exciting, right? Gameloft have really shown what they can do with Dreamlight Valley, I think, and a big IP. And they've had years of making these mobile games, but Dreamlight was like their first big console PC thing. And eventually, I think they really got to grips with it and made it a fun, exciting experience. So, yeah, how do you feel about them attempting a D&D game?
Yeah, I think like I've voiced quite a lot on here that Dreamlight for me is, it's a real shame that I didn't play it when it came out, because that for me was like a 10 out of 10 game in regards to kind of how much you can do in the world, and you know, the fact that it's fucking Disney and you can literally be best friends with Goofy and you can be best friends with Buzz or Nala. Do you know what I mean? Like, or Ariel, like that shit rocks. They've got such a lovely art style. They've got so much that you can do, so many. So in Dungeons and Dragons, it's such a different script, isn't it? You know, it plays very differently. There are rules, and I actually think that they could do it really, really well. I think if they kind of, you know, add a bit more seriousness to the game, to the IP, than they maybe do with Dreamlight. You know, kind of up the age a little bit. I'm not saying that, you know, Dreamlight is just for kids, because I'm literally 31 and I fucking love this Dreamlight Valley. Yeah, I think there's a different caliber of scope that you can do with D&D. So the fact that they're gonna incorporate again like a bit of a life simulator, I think is really, really cool. And I'd be really intrigued to see how that's done, and that would be something that I would definitely jump into.
Yeah, me too. And I think kids get quite bored with Dreamlight Valley. I think like
That's such a shame. They're wrong. It's okay.
once you get to like get your level 10 friendship for Mickey Mouse up to like level 15, and you're like, seriously? Okay. But yeah, it's great. It is great. It is great. And yeah, Sully and Mike are on then, aren't they? So that's exciting.
Yes, they are, and that's the great thing about that, is that like that shit's completely free. Like, that's super cool. So yes, yeah, I'd be looking forward to that, and that's something I think want to watch.
For sure. Miles, what's your experience with D&D? Do you have any kind of excitement over this after seeing, or kind of like watching Dreamlight over the shoulder of Cat, I suppose?
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I don't have a lot of experience in it myself. I know a few people who are really into it, and I think with Baldur's Gate 3 having come off the hype of the D&D community in particular, I think it's much more like open, if that makes sense. Like I don't think it's seen as like a niche kind of hobby kind of thing, if that makes sense, especially within video games now. So I think it's a good opportunity. From what I've seen of Cat playing Dreamlight, it's very good at just capturing like the fun and the feel of Disney stuff. I think the developers know how to create like the aura of something that's nice to play. Obviously, a D&D setting will be very different, but I think a lot of the mechanics are kind of in there in terms of the collecting of materials, the kind of building on kind of relationships with NPCs or characters. I think the combat and the RPG side of it is where there's going to be more of a challenge, because it's more of an extension of what they've worked on before. But I think there's some really cool stuff that they've worked on, and obviously Dreamlight's not going to go anywhere. So it gives them a source of funding where hopefully they won't have to rush to get the game out before it's complete and that kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know too much about it. It's not really within my wheelhouse, but I think the developers have set themselves up a really nice platform to be able to take their time and build something pretty cool. And who knows, maybe it ends up being another Baldur's Gate type success, and that would be really nice.
Indeed. Did you watch the D&D film that came out last year?
I did not know. Was it any good?
It was wonderful. I loved it.
Oh, okay.
I know nothing about D&D. I'm starting to learn. I'm watching a lot of Ox Venture, the Outside Xbox guys, do D&D,
Oh, they're
and
so good at it.
I'm really trying to kind of learn it and understand it. And yeah, but the film is great. You don't need to know anything about D&D to enjoy that film.
Oh,
It's
cool.
really entertaining.
I think that's a nice thing, is like, you don't have to be caught up within the entire ecosystem of it to now be able to enjoy it to some degree. Like, I think elements of it are cruising into different parts of media. And like I said, it just feels a bit more like accessible to people. It's not something that you have to spend like a month of your life learning to be able to get into now. So I think it's a good opportunity for it.
For sure. And the beauty of it is that you can write your own stories, can't you, and sort of play it your own way.
Yes.
You don't have to kind of follow the well-worn tread of the law. You can just sort of jump in and do whatever you wish, which I think is really cool about it as well.
Yeah, you can make it your own. And I think that's always an appealing aspect, is when you can make a journey yours kind of thing. So yeah, it fits with video games quite naturally in that way.
Look out for a Finger Guns D&D series coming 2025.
Imagine.
Oh man, that would be so much fun. If we all lived closer, that would be really fun. We all live sort of around the corner from each other. It would be fun like once a month to get to like a D&D game. But Josh, how are you with D&D? I assume you saw the film and loved it. Did that make you want to jump into the game
Absolutely.
at all?
It's one of those where I've tried a couple of times, and I think all it takes is a really good DM, Dungeon Master. I think that's that stands for people that are as newbie as me to Dungeons and Dragons. All you need is a great Dungeon Master that can weave a story and kind of get you involved. And I've done one shots, they call them, so it's like something you can do in one sitting. Not necessarily in a fantasy setting, but I did a zombie apocalypse one once with a bunch of friends, and that was really fun. And yeah, I think Miles brought it up, and you brought it up about Baldur's Gate 3 kind of being that answer to a video game Dungeons and Dragons, essentially. And I don't think there's lofty expectations for Gameloft to pull it out of the bag and kind of be at that sort of level. But there are now, I think, more expectations on how a Dungeons and Dragons game should be, because there's just more knowledge about the kind of parameters that it goes within. So is there room for disappointment? For sure. But I have hope, I guess, because they really nailed the I was going to say Stardew Valley, but it's more Animal Crossing formula, but with a Disney setting. They pretty much nailed that. So if they can take on Dungeons and Dragons and make their own spin on it, then I reckon they can. I just hope that people don't have this idea that we're going to expect something completely and utterly endless and open-ended to the point of like you can almost do anything. I'm hoping they have maybe like storylines that they carry out through seasons, and then the seasons continue, and battle pass type stuff that kind of takes you on separate journeys, and it's all live service type. That would be like the ideal for me, I think. You can create a like kind of like how Diablo sort of done it, where you reroll characters after a season, and you can take on new story missions. So yeah, as long as they kind of just make it a really cool RPG, then they're onto a winner, really, on something that can have endless opportunities that I just as mentioned. So fingers crossed for Gameloft.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's plenty of ways it can go. Just fingers crossed it's going to go in the right direction. I think, yeah, I think comparisons to Baldur's Gate may be inevitable, but I think if they try and do something different with it, yeah, it should hopefully be able to kind of have its own life and have its own success
Exactly.
alongside Baldur's Gate rather than instead of it.
Yeah.
Right then, let's get into Multiverses, which is returning to consoles and PC in May. This is the Smash Brothers alike Warner Brothers game, which featured like Harley Quinn and Batman and Tom and Jerry and Bugs Bunny and all that. Coming back free to play on May 28th. So in a new video revealing the game's re-release date, game director Tony Hung, I apologize if I've said that wrong, I probably have, explained that previous criticisms have been taken on board. The team has heard your feedback and learned a lot from our open beta, Hung said. Here at Player First Games, it's always been our aspiration to make a platform fighter that you'll love as much as we do. We've been working hard on a variety of changes and updates to deliver an improved gameplay experience. Who have I got to first? Josh, Multiverses. I know this is one of those games that kind of appeared and then disappeared, but I don't know if it was always sort of meant to go, okay, we'll take it down for a bit and then we'll rejig it and then re-release it. You don't see that very often. So Multiverses are doing something perhaps a little different this time around.
For sure, it was unprecedented to have a game completely taken off, but I think with it being free, that they kind of can do that. They can take it away from the customers, and people can't really moan about it. My brother-in-law has actually got the platinum for Multiverses. That's how much of
Wow.
it he played, because that is not an easy feat. There is a lot of fighting to get to be had. I didn't play as much as him, but I absolutely loved it. I don't know if anyone else is on the team has played this, but it is a phenomenal platform battler. Like, hands down, amazing. And I was at the time of it being taken off the store, I was not too bothered because I had other things to play. I was like, oh, thank God, I've got one less thing to play right now, so I can focus on some of the more precedent games. But then when it just didn't come back for a while, I was like, no, I wanted to finish this. I wanted the platinum. I wanted to play more. And when they mentioned criticisms, I'm not too sure what all the criticism was, apart from the sort of live service elements of it. People apparently weren't happy with season two, with how this was something I did experience. The amount of leveling up you do for your characters and for the season pass, and how much you have to grind to get some of those whatever skins, new items, whatever. That took so long to do. That was really unfun if you're someone that's just seeking to get to the next level and not just enjoying the game per match. So I guess that's kind of where it was coming into play. Some characters were not broken, but really powerful, almost kind of uncounterable. But that took someone that was like a professional at that game, and it only has been out for a few months. So like that was very few and far between of like, am I going to get smashed by the Shaggy? No. But yeah, I absolutely love it. I'm so happy that it's coming back. Unreal Engine 5 is like the biggest thing for me that it's kind of announced that it's just going to have a really nice graphical overhaul because it looked pretty anyway. And now it's just going to look even better. So yeah, I hope I won't be the only one. I tried to coax Miles at the very least when it was out, and he was like, nah, don't like Smash. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I did play a lot of it alone, but I
Oh.
hope with its re-release that we can all at least give it a go.
For sure. Sure. Yeah, I'm excited. The roster is just too fun to kind of turn down, really.
Exactly.
It's a really nice selection of characters. So yeah, I hope it's gonna grow and just keep growing and yeah, bring on the next release. Kat, I know we played some what was it, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl?
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, you roundly and deservedly beat the shit out of me. Completely destroyed me. Does Seven at Multiverse, does that get you hyped for the new release?
I mean, maybe. I guess if it was on like PS Plus, I'd give it a go. For me, it's something that I probably wouldn't buy, and I know that I remember the times where Josh was playing it, and he really enjoyed it because I remember him was like, "Oh, Velma's well OP. I'm just gonna play as Velma the whole time." And yeah, so it's not for me, but I would be willing to try it. Like, I'm not as against it as Miles. Like, I really enjoyed Smash. I kind of enjoyed Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon was one of those things where it kind of felt like you could take it or leave it, but it was a lot of fun depending on who you're playing with. But I do know that a lot of people do speak highly of this, so I guess we just have to see. We'll just have to see, Ross. Who knows?
Who knows? Well, it's free to play, so you should be able to jump in.
Oh, well, there you go then.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I would give it a go then. So yeah, I'd check it out. I think it's rude not to if it's free.
Well, yes, indeed. Miles, are you actually gonna stop being a bitch and play Morty versus of Us?
Probably not. I just really don't like Smash.
Oh, God.
I just don't like games of that type. They're just the Rumbler. I don't know. There's just something about them that just doesn't click with me. However, I'll probably cave into the FOMO if you guys are all playing it and having a good time. So, and it's free to play, unlike Crash Team Rumble, which I would have had to splurge like £35 on to play it once. This I can just drop in for free. So maybe.
Well, just think about it, you can play tournaments and then you might be able to win it 4-3.
Wonderful. No, I'm definitely not playing it. That was well worked in there. That was a good transition into that.
The last 5 minutes, I'm thinking, how can I get 4-3 into a conversation?
And there it is. We have it
Yeah.
now.
Yeah, we got there.
But I guess for the game itself, it's weird to think that it's been like 2 years since it was initially out and played.
Yeah, it
And
is, isn't it? It's been a
it literally feels like a year at most. So yeah, a bit of an odd one. But I think it's nice that it's kind of had its rejuvenation. They've obviously spent some time kind of rebuilding it and whatnot, so that'll be cool. And yeah, I'll be intrigued to see how it does. Even if I don't end up jumping in, it'll be nice to see how it progresses and if it manages to win over the people who weren't as happy with it. So yeah, I guess we'll see.
Sorry, I was muted. I was like, yeah, United have drawn Coventry in the semi-final.
Oh, easy. Into the final, and then Man City will beat you 3-0.
Yeah, we'll get to the final at least. That's the important thing.
Yeah, exactly. You'll get there. That's the main thing.
That's the main thing. All right then. Well, that's Multiverses coming back on May 28th. And we can't wait for Miles' impressions of it. Game of the week, if you like Multiverses. Can't play anything else. Love this game. Didn't think I would. Absolutely loved it. We're gonna go Exoprimal on this bitch. 2024.
There's a distinct lack of dinosaurs. If they throw in a dinosaur, maybe.
Okay. Let me see what I can do. All right, let's get to recommendations just so we find something throughout the week that we think, hey, you should check that out. Whether it be a game, a movie, a TV show, a book, a phone, or a teddy bear. Who knows what it could be. It could be literally anything, and that's why we love it. Kat, would you want to go first on your recommendation?
Well then, mine's a little bit of a weird one. And Miles will probably laugh out loud because I haven't stopped fucking talking about it. But the
I already know what this is. I already know what this is.
Right, the backstory is, okay, is that Miles made a really random sandwich, okay, like last week, okay? It was just like really late at night. He hadn't had dinner and he was like, fuck it, I'm just going to throw some shit together. Now, during that, I don't know what happened, but something sparked in his brain. And all I'm going to say is my recommendation is to season your sandwiches. Now, maybe I'm the only fucker that doesn't do this, but I feel like the British in general don't season their sandwiches. I always see it in like Subway, or I always see it in America, where they're putting literal salt and pepper all over their sandwich. Well, we managed to get mayo and we put salt, pepper, oregano and chili sauce. And it was, and I'm not just talking about like, you know, have a sandwich and put mayo and butter on it. Like, this is like, crack that black pepper on it, crack that salt on it, like add some mixed herbs, because there's something that has unlocked in my brain where I cannot stop fucking thinking about this sandwich. And I've bought all the ingredients and I'm gonna have it like every day for the next week. I'm so excited about it. Who knows? But just season your sandwiches, that's my recommendation. You won't regret it.
You sound like Ross from Friends.
Yeah, like the moist maker.
Moist maker. My sandwich!
My sandwich! Yeah, so. Yeah.
Well, okay. So, yeah, not a recommendation, more of a life goal. Just like, season your sandwiches, guys.
Yeah, I recommend that you should season your sandwich. It's just, okay. You know. Yeah, that's what I recommend.
There you are. The next more time you know, ladies lunch, and gents.
Yeah, next time I have a look, just crack some black pepper on it. You won't regret it.
All right, cool. I don't really make a lot of sandwiches. I like pate. Pate's nice.
Nice, season it. Black pepper, crack on. Yeah.
I'll season black pepper and oregano. It'll be great. make all of my sandwiches look like I just bought them at Marks and Spencer. That'd be very exciting. Miles, your recommendation.
Mine is
it to season different. Your sandwiches?
It is also to season your sandwiches. Yes, it was quite the. The find that I discovered through doing that. Mine is the Star Wars Cards Against Humanity. We played it when Joe came down, the famous star from the Linkin Park podcast, of which we spent 4 hours discussing everything, and it was great. And we had a really good laugh. There's lots of very obscure cards in here, and there are some very disgustingly dirty ones of which you would never usually think of. No, my one from last week, Kat, was Studio 666, the movie. So this time we're doing the other thing. And just as a kind of reference point, I guess, quite a few of the cards reference Finn orgasming, and that's pretty much where it goes from there. That's kind of like a baseline card. So there's lots of, laughs at the expense of characters who probably shouldn't be having cards like this made about them. But it is good fun. It's a nice twist from the usual Cards Against Humanity. Weirdly, there are quite a few typos in it, but that kind of adds to the enjoyment of it. I quite enjoyed hearing about the Kangkor pit. So yeah, you can make your own fun with it to some degree as well.
How are these licensed ones allowed?
I have no idea. It's pretty baffling.
There's a Disney one as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
And a Potter one as well.
And a Harry Potter one, Muggles Against Humanity. Yeah.
I don't get how it's allowed.
It's probably not, but it's just too late now. They've already sold.
Fair. Come on. Give me My Little Pony Against Humanity. Let's do it.
Oh my God. Imagine if they had like a Sonic Against Humanity.
I'd buy that.
You'd definitely buy that. You'd be all over that.
Oh, I'll be all over that. Yeah. Like black pepper on a sandwich.
Way and oregano.
Yeah, like I'm mad. I live over a Liverpool defence.
I knew that was coming. I was waiting. I was
Oh
like, when is it going to hit?
dear. I'm sorry. I was honestly was not expecting us to win, so I don't know what to do with myself.
You do not need to apologize, my friend. This is what football's about. It's all good fun.
Ridiculous. Josh, your recommendation.
So I snapped up a game that's, let me, do you know what? I should have probably fact checked this before I was up. I'm going to do it right now. It is, what did, it came out in 2019. Nah, that honestly feels long ago. I originally played this game on iOS when, during Apple Arcade's sort of freebie season. I jumped on it, and the first game that I played was What the Golf.
Ah, yes.
And it's just had a PlayStation release, and I'm assuming it's on other consoles and stuff like that now. And I've just absolutely been rinsing it. I've already completed it. I bought it Thursday, I want to say. No, Friday. Bought it
Nice.
Friday, already beaten it basically. And I can't say enough nice things about the game. It's an arcade golfing, mini golf putting game where it's not as it seems. Like you'll probably putt a golf ball into the hole, but like probably mission three, you'll start swinging yourself along into the to hit the flag, and it just gets weirder, wilder. It has other video game references as whole levels, like Super Hot, like Super Meat Boy, and a bit like Metal Gear Solid as well. There's like, over 100 levels probably. They're all bite-sized arcade mini game type levels that have different things about them, different niches, and I love it. And I'm glad that I went and got it. It's currently on sale for like 50% if you're a PlayStation Plus member. I think that runs out on the 20th. So if you fancy it and you fancy it at half the price, then definitely go give it a go.
Yep, I remember playing it on Switch a couple of years ago, and it's a perfect Switch game. My God,
Oh yeah, for sure.
it's a cracker of a golf game. So yeah, great to see it's finally out on PlayStation. It's a delight. It is a
Sure
delight.
is.
Seconded that big time. What's mine? Well, it can only be one thing really, and that is the Eras Tour. On Disney Plus. Your boy sat down and watched it last night. All 3.5 hours of it.
Go on,
And then I
tell me
watched
more.
and then I watched the acoustic special extra bit as well
Yes.
at the end.
Is that the long? Okay, yeah. Oh, yes, the
All
surprise songs.
26 minutes of it. And it was fucking awesome. There's just no way to watch that gig, regardless of what genre you're into, and not go, that is someone at the peak of their powers doing what they do best. And it is a staggeringly good concert. And I think that as I have nothing against Taylor Swift, but I'm not her biggest fan. But you just can't deny it. It's undeniable. When you see that audience and the reaction, it's undeniable. And you get caught up in it so quickly. And I love the interactions that she has with the audience. 3.5 hours. Not a lot of people play with 3.5 hours anymore. And so that is a feat in itself, I think. But yeah, this was an excellent concert film. One of the best I've seen for a while. And it's not just Taylor, it's the production, the editing, everything just about it just works. It's a 10 out of 10 experience. I can't say better than that, really. No, I did not pause it and slow motion vigilante shit. I just want to clear that rumor up before it gets going. I
Oh, because
thoroughly
you couldn't
en
work out how to do that on your TV.
Are you trying to convince us or yourself,
it
or?
was it was kind of because I couldn't hold my controller really at the time. It was just a glorious experience. I won't spoil it. I won't talk about little moments because I know, people on this pod precisely are actually going to the show in this year. So there are
Yeah.
moments that I'd never seen on TikTok that I was surprised by, so I won't go into them. But yeah, I can't fault it. I just can't fault it. I really tried. I was like, fuck, this was amazing. And yeah, you got to give it to her, man. She just knows what she's doing, and it's well worth a watch if you're ready for it, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, what can I say? It was just genius. And whoever's got tickets, if you're listening to it and you've got tickets, if you're on this pod, you've got tickets, you're going to have an amazing time. I think you'll remember it for the rest of your life. Ah. Well then, ladies and gentlemen, that does bring a solemn end to the Thinking Guns podcast. Thank you all very much indeed for listening. Don't forget, if you want to follow us, you absolutely can. Just go to the link tree in the description below to find us in all the places. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can at FNGRGNS. All of our individual handles are in the description below to find us if you want to follow us there. Except for Mars, of course, he's smart and not on Twitter. And why would he be right now anyway? Because it's just full of Man United fans celebrating. If you really like what we do, you want to follow our Patreon for $1 a month, you can keep this podcast live on its various podcast hosting services and keep the website nice and shiny. And of course, if you are on Spotify or Apple, please do leave us a review. It really helps us out in the old search engines and discoverability and keeps us front and center when you type our name into the search engine. Well, that's it. Thank you very much indeed. We'll be back next week for more gaming shenanigans where we can talk about these embargo games that we've been playing this week. And we can let you know how what we think about them. I'm very, very excited to do so. But until then, it is goodbye from Kat.
Oh no, sorry, I thought it was muted. Bye bye.
It's goodbye from Miles.
Farewell.
And it's goodbye from Josh.
Bye everyone.
I've been Roscoe. We'll see you next time on the Finger Guns podcast. Glory, glory, Man United. Glory, glory, Man United. Glory, glory, Man United. And the Reds go marching on.